Good afternoon. Welcome to House Labor and Commerce. It is 1:02 p.m. on Saturday, February 17th. Members present are Representative Chenault, Representative Josephson, Representative Stutes, and myself, Chair Quito. We've also invited Representative Parrish to join us here at the table. He's not on the committee, but he will be participating in listening to public testimony. We have excused absences today. Representative Knopp, Birch, Sullivan, Leonard, and Wool are all excused. Reminder that we do have a quorum, but we will not be conducting any business, so if we lose any members, that will not impact our ability to continue with the meeting. And please turn your cell phones off. Our support staff today are Lori Rowland as our recording secretary and Doug Bridges as our LAO moderator. And our agenda today is public testimony on House Bill 83, Teachers and Public Employee Retirement Plans. One of the issues we found is the LIOs are not open, so if anybody is dialing in and having trouble getting in, keep trying. There are a limited number of 800 numbers, and as we get through testimony, lines will open up, so be patient. And with that, what we will do is I will see as public testimony open. Okay. I will open up public testimony at 1:04 p.m. And let's see who we've got signed in first. Okay. We do have a couple of people to start out with invited testimony. We have Tim Parker with National Education Association. Mr. Parker, if you can place your name affiliation on the record and provide us with your statement, please. Mr. Parker? There we go. I think we've got you now. Okay.
Am I on now?
You are on now. Thank you. Go ahead and place your name on the record and provide us with your statement.
Yes. Good afternoon, members of the Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Tim Parker. I'm a high school English teacher from Fairbanks who has taught at Lathrop High School since 2003, but most recently I've been serving as the president of NEA Alaska. First, thank you to Representative Quito for sponsoring and hearing House Bill 83, and to the committee members here today on a Saturday, thank you for your time and attention and for spending the time to learn about one of the most concerning challenges our educators are facing. Educators around Alaska are motivated by student learning. We think about it constantly. It's what motivates us, gets us to work every day, often keeps us there too late at night and sometimes on weekends. Everything in our training is about trying to maximize student learning. But this focus, and sometimes it might even be an over-focus on student learning, means that we don't spend nearly enough time focused on our own retirement. Studies show we also compromise on our own health. That's a subject for another day. Right now, over 50% of our active teachers and education support professionals are enrolled in TRS-3 or PERS-4 retirement systems. If they are able to work here in Alaska until they're 65, you would think they would be able to retire. But that's not the case. Most educators hired after 2006 will outlive their retirement savings. As you heard in testimony on Friday, virtually all of these educators don't have access to Social Security. We must find a way to make it possible for educators to retire with dignity. We are losing our best and brightest teachers at far too fast a clip. In fact, we have essentially incentivized them to leave Alaska. School districts have been struggling to fill positions in the last few years that used to have hundreds and hundreds of applicants. The Alaska Teacher Placement Job Fair used to be one of the busiest in the country, and now it's pretty much a ghost town. Last August, as schools in Alaska began the school year, more than 250 classrooms started without a teacher. This isn't a problem for teachers. It's a problem for Alaska. Many of you are parents. You want a great education for your sons and daughters. Every parent wants that. You want your students to have the best teachers possible. You want their schools to thrive. But what we can't do, but we can't do that when we have the worst retirement system in the country. Even people who love Alaska and want to stay here are being forced to leave. Alaska is the only state without any access to a secure retirement. And it's not because we as educators aren't willing to pay and do our part. I've been working as a teacher for 20 years, and I've never missed a payment, nor has any other educator. When our Tiers 1 and 2 system ran into unfunded liabilities prior to 2006, it was because of mistakes made by others. Payments were reduced or eliminated for employers, bad actuarial advice got the blame, and our public school system continues to pay the price. Alaska must find a way to make it possible for retirement with dignity. Recent analysis that any Alaska has conducted shows that for a special education aide in the Mattsu Valley who is hired at 25 and works for 35 years, their retirement savings would allow them to replace about 32% of their income. This is before any calculation related to health care costs. For a teacher on the Kenai starting at 25 and working 35 years, they should be able to replace about 39% of their income. Again, this is before health care costs, which paints an even bleaker picture. Most financial advisors recommend budgeting for 70 to 75% of your income in retirement. Our educators, after 30 years of service, will be lucky to have half of this amount. The stark reality has sparked gallows humor. Our talented younger educators refer to Alaska's retirement system as the death tier. In other words, you have to work until you die. Alaska must find a way to make it possible for educators to retire with dignity. As educators, our passion is for student learning. But how can we truly dedicate ourselves to this important cause when we run the risk of a retirement that doesn't include Social Security or any kind of defined benefit? Many of our best and brightest young teachers are saying enough is enough and leaving other states. In fact, any other state, because they can always get a secure retirement in those other states. None of this is to say that the challenges that you are facing as our elected representatives are easy. In fact, they may be some of the hardest that we have ever faced. The past 5 years, funding for education has fallen relative to inflation. The result is the largest class sizes we've ever seen in Alaska. Last year, we even compounded that by waiting to fund education until June, which led to hundreds and hundreds of pink slips being issued. And when we finally rescinded those pink slips, we discovered that hundreds and hundreds of our best educators have left the state. Your support of HB 83 or any defined benefit option for educators is what is best for students, schools, and the economy. Our students need to know that their educators are here to stay. We want educators to be invested in their state, their profession, and local communities. The current defined contribution system makes this impossible. I implore you to consider the impact of a system where talented and committed educators are essentially being forced to leave. There are so many things happening in education around Alaska, but if we cannot attract and retain the best educators, Alaska won't be able to build the education system demanded by our parents and communities, and our kids will miss out on the best education that we can offer them. Thank you for your time on this Saturday and your support of HB 83.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. And if you have any written testimony, go ahead and send it into my office, and we'll make sure it gets included with the record. Next up under invited testimony, we have Jake Metcalf. Mr. Metcalf, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair Quito. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Chair Quito, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity today to testify in favor of House Bill 83. My name is Jake Metcalf. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska State Employees Association, AFSCME Local 52. ASEA represents 8,000 state employees in the general government unit. We represent classes of employees, and they include administrative, professional, technical, class one, and seasonal employees. They are all over the state of Alaska. I've been in my current job for about a month. Prior to working at ASEA, I served as the executive director for the Public Safety Employees Association, AFSCME Local 803. That association represented the Alaska State Troopers, Airport Police, Court Service Officers, Municipal Police, all over the state of Alaska. I want to inform the committee that ASEA supports House Bill 83. Defined benefit system has been a legislative priority at ASEA for at least the last 10 years. And I can tell you that from my prior job at PSEA, defined benefit retirement was a legislative priority for the entire time I was at the Public Safety Employees Association. the reason that the members of ASEA support House Bill 83 is threefold. First, it provides security and dignity in retirement. Second, it helps retain the best and the brightest of employees and lessens the Alaska brain drain. And three, a defined benefit retirement helps recruit the best and brightest employees to the state of Alaska. I think it's important for the committee to realize that in especially professional, technical, class one employees in the state of Alaska, we have a serious crisis going on. The Department of Public Safety has testified in subcommittee meetings this year that they have a problem recruiting police officers. I know that for a fact is true. I know that municipal police officers are facing the same kind of crisis. And part of that is we have not kept up with wages and we have not kept up with benefits. Most, if not all, the states in the Pacific Northwest provide a defined benefit retirement. Not only is this a problem with public safety and first responders, it's a problem with professional employees and any employee that has a certification. These are the employees that help in all kinds of categories, engineering, nurses, teachers. They're people that we need to have in our state in order to provide the services that our taxpayers pay for and deserve. The thing about a defined benefit retirement is that it keeps people in the state of Alaska and in their jobs. And I'll speak from my own experience. I'm a Tier 1 retiree. I was a state employee in Bethel and in Anchorage and in Juneau. I don't have a large pension because I didn't work for a long time with the state of Alaska, but I have a pension every month, and I have health care provided through Tier 1. That allows me to have security and dignity in retirement and make staying here a much easier decision. I also just want to go back with a little personal story. My grandfather had a professional career in Alaska and in Juneau, and he died when my mother was in high school. And he left four daughters and a wife who didn't work. Luckily, Social Security had been in place for a short period of time, and my grandmother was able to raise her daughters, but she had to go to work in her 50s in order to do that, and she had to work into her 70s. And all she had was a Social Security benefit, and that did not allow her to stop working, and it really limited her retirement security and dignity. I don't think we want to go back to that. We want to have our employees want to stay in the state. We want them to spend their money in the state, and we want them to be safe and secure in retirement. HB 83 allows for a choice between a defined contribution and a defined benefit. It's a well-thought-out bill. We have thousands of public employees in the state that support it, and I would ask the committee to please pass it out of committee, and I appreciate your time, and I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Metcalf. And do we have any questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We are going to go to, looks like we've got Fairbanks LIO available now, Scott Eichold. Mr. Eichold.
Good afternoon,
thank you,
Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Eichold. I'm the business manager of Laborers Local 942. We represent about 1,000 workers here in Alaska. Of those, about 50 are public employees that work on Borough Transit here in Fairbanks. A lot of the testimony already has covered probably a lot of the talking points that will be reiterated today. I would just like to say from our standpoint here at the borough, what we're seeing is and should be a concern to the state is attrition. With the turnover, you lose the stability of your workforce, you lose experience, and you lose the level of service that should be expected out of public services. On top of that, these defined contribution retirement plans were meant to be a supplemental plan to existing defined benefits. And in the 1980s and 90s, that became a shift to become the main sponsor plan. And we're seeing those fail across the country at this point. The existing defined benefit plans, as we have seen, are starting to fail because of the new injection of money that's needed to keep them afloat. So from our standpoint at Local 942, we would urge the state to allow these workers to come back into a meaningful retirement security plan that gives them the dignity that they can retire at a good age and not have to come back into the workforce. One last thing addressing that is the workers that are in their later years are forced to work longer, and this is a concern for the younger workers coming into the workforce. We're seeing this aged group stick around a little bit longer, and this prevents the younger group from moving in and upward. So, again, I would urge the state to make the consideration to allow these folks to move back into the defined benefit. Thanks for letting us testify on a Saturday.
Thank you, Mr. Eicholt. We will go on now to Janice Baptiste. I understand she's got a time constraint. So, Ms. Baptiste, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Janice Baptiste, and I am a member of 942, and I'm a transit driver for Fairbanks here. And I really appreciate the opportunity to bring me forward here because I do have to go to work. We provide public transportation. I represent the drivers, and a lot of the drivers that we have left basically because they know there's not going to be any security as far as retirement. As we get older, we worry about Social Security, whether or not we're going to have Social Security or not. And I am 66, and I'm still working. And hoping to be able to have a decent retirement is extremely important, especially because Fairbanks is very, very expensive. I didn't write any type of speech, but I can say that, you know, I speak for a lot of the drivers. I've seen so many of them leave and also leave the state. A lot of people are looking for the fact that they need to have a decent retirement, and the younger drivers know that, you know, they may not have Social Security. And so we know that, you know, being here in Fairbanks, we're not going to be able to stay because we wouldn't have a decent retirement to be able to afford the housing and the you know, food stuff, things that we need to have in this area. And we provide transportation for people that go to work here, and we're shorthanded almost all the time. So this would be something that, as it's been mentioned, being able to live here with dignity and have a decent retirement so that we can stay here. I do have to go on to work. I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you. I think that it's so important that you please consider us as transit drivers and the fact that we do need to have a decent retirement. And, again, I appreciate being able to speak on a Saturday.
Thank you, Ms. Baptiste, and appreciate you coming in and taking time out of your work day to come in and talk to us. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll stay in Fairbanks, go on to Robert Grove. Mr. Grove, can you provide us with your name and affiliation and give us your testimony, please?
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Robert Grove, and I am the director of the Retired Public Employees of Alaska, and we represent all PERS and tourism retired employees, over 40-something thousand, basically. And this has been an issue that I have personally been involved with for about 3 years. I spoke basically in favor of this bill in a former life when Representative Tito and Senator Egan introduced it as SB 88, and I think as our House Bill 283, if I got my numbers straight. Anyway, it is, I believe, in the best interest of the entire state for us to be able to retain and recruit state employees. Like I said, I've been working on this bill because when Tier 4 was created, it created what I would consider a giant mess in all kinds of areas. In former testimonies, I had a state trooper wildlife officer who was in tears because he was going to have to leave the state of Alaska because he was a Tier 4 employee. This is right after Tier 4 was created. And he was going, he had been offered a job in North Dakota, making about $30,000 more a year without even including the benefit package, which was about one and a half times what a Tier 1, 2, or 3 person had. And he was a Tier 4. I retired twice, once from the University of Alaska Geophysical Institute, and also as a fire chief back in, God forbid, 2000. And I have a lot of law enforcement friends and a lot of firefighter friends. It's a huge problem here in Fairbanks to retain firefighters. There's a tremendous amount of money that's put into training. The same thing goes for troopers. And they are leaving. Some of them might be lucky enough to get a job in Anchorage with a better benefit package, but a lot of them are leaving the state. I believe, as I am a Tier 1 retiree, and I feel very fortunate, if I did not have the benefit package that I have, I could not afford to live in Fairbanks, and I would also leave the state of Alaska, which is nothing, not what I want to do at all. But the reality of the cost of living is such that these are choices that people are making, and I don't believe having a large group of people leaving the state is in the best interest of the economic situation in Alaska. We believe that by creating a choice pension bill, and I've heard different figures as to how many people would actually choose the benefit plan versus the defined contribution. There are younger folks that don't think about retirement and they want the portability of a defined, contribution plan. But on the other hand, having heard the testimony from commissioners, deputy commissioners, and the difficulty people are having in all state agencies, DOT, public safety, across the board, they're asked to do more with less, and they're aren't being able to recruit the people to do it. From a retiree's perspective, it is in our interest to have more people paying into the trust than less people. There is a feeling amongst some retirees that the legislature is just waiting for all of us Tier 1, 2, and 3 people to die off so they don't have to worry about us. There's another issue, and that is more people that are in a defined benefit plan are paying towards reducing the unfunded liability, which, in my opinion, is being kicked down the road, and you guys will be dealing with this in another couple 20, about 10 years, one way or the other. So basically, that's pretty much all I have to say. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. Do we have any questions from committee members? Seeing no questions, thank you for your testimony. We'll move on, staying in Fairbanks, to Leon Koch. Mr. Koch, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please?
My name is Leon Koch. I am a member of 942, and I'm a transit driver for the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Mr. Koch, could you speak up just a little bit? We're having a little trouble hearing you.
Sure, you bet.
That's much better. Thank you.
I hope I don't sound hostile, but my name is Leon Koch, and I'm a transit driver for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, member 942, a former paratransit driver. I'm also the shop steward for the transit drivers. And I only found out about this hearing last night at 7:30, so I'm a little bit unprepared. So bear with me here.
No worries.
I've always thought the fact that you have separate policies, benefit packages, is a little bit discriminatory. And I know that a lot of the other employees feel that way, too. People have come to me and said, you know, what's the difference? I've never really explored the difference between Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3. I only focus on Tier 4 because that's the one that applies to me. I will say this. You would retain employees a little bit longer if they had a planned benefit. which they don't have. I'll also say that I contribute currently to a Roth IRA, the 457 deferred compensation plan, as well as what comes out for the public employee's retirement. I also have a traditional IRA. I live in the interior of Alaska in substandard housing so that I can do that. And I manage my funds myself, something that the state of Alaska doesn't even do with their public employees retirement service that I found out. It's administered by financial, Empower Financial. So what you're asking is that the employees, some of who, when you're talking about state troopers and such, work shift work, is to go home then after their shift and manage these funds, which is a full-time job. The state doesn't even do it itself. So, I think it makes a big difference. That's just my feelings, and that's about all I have to say. I hope that helps.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Koch. Thank you for your testimony. And then next we'll go to Sandy Guy. Can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please?
Yeah. My name is Sandy Guy, and I'm a member of 942. I support this bill. I've been Alaska all my life, born and raised here. I would hate to be forced to pick up and move with my family because I can't support my children and be able to live here. I think there would be more people at this meeting in testimony if they would have had a little more heads up and if they could get some time off work. But they're driving bus right now. So, yes, I do support this bill. And I please take that in consideration that we are struggling like everybody else and we really want to stay here. This is our home. And I really would hate to pick up and leave. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Guy. Do we have any questions from committee? Seeing no questions, we'll move on to Kodiak Bob Murphy. Mr. Murphy, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Keto. My name is Bob Murphy. I'm from Kodiak and representing myself. I work for the state as a Tier 2 employee with 28 years of service. I thank you, Chairman Keto, and to the Labor and Commerce Committee for hearing testimony. And thank you for your service, and thank you, committee member Representative Stutz, for your service to the state as well. In my 4 decades of working for the state, I have seen many people come and go. What concerns me most is that in the past 10 years, many employees hired under the defined contribution PERS Tier 4 or the TERS Tier 3 have no reason to pursue working for the state until retirement. I have heard this time and time from those under the defined contribution plan, and I've hired my share of employees over the years and know that turnover is difficult as well as costly to the state. With the cost-neutral benefit to the state and benefits to help retain and recruit employees, I see hope that HB 83 can help change this trend. The defined contribution employees do not have the same reason to work for the state that defined benefit employees do, and I see and hear that from them. And that's unfortunate, and we should all want them to work for the state for the 30 years like most of us will. It's in everyone's best interest, including the public they serve. I fully support HB 83, and thank you for your time, and thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy, and thank you for testifying on a Saturday. Next, we'll go on to Ketchikan, Valerie Brooks. Ms. Brooks, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I appreciate the committee members being available on a Saturday. I'm Valerie Brooks. I am a member of the NEA Alaska Board of Directors, but I am speaking for myself today. I'm a public school teacher in Ketchikan, and I have been for several decades, and I'm speaking in favor of HB 83. HB 83 lets public employees choose the plan that is best for them. Defined benefit plans are a great option for public employees who want to work their full careers in Alaska, but some folks may value the flexibility and portability of a 401k-style plan, and I believe HB 83 provides that choice to public employees. This pension option addresses the fact that public employees in Alaska do not earn Social Security benefits, and in fact, they lose those benefits that they've earned in past jobs They lose more the longer that they've worked in this state. And this HB 83 makes defined contribution individual retirement accounts that are risky for folks. The combination of defined benefit, defined contribution can be something that is a positive for public employees. The defined benefit option can encourage public employees to work in Alaska long enough to collect a pension and actually retire here. The current defined contribution system means that public employees who vest after 5 years can then take that money that the state's invested and move to another state with a more stable and beneficial retirement plan. Since Alaska switched to a defined contribution-only system, a significant number of public education employees have not been working past this 5-year vested service. HB 83 addresses the fact that public employees in Alaska have no choice in their retirement at this point. In order to remain competitive and to attract and retain the best and the brightest public servants, the best and the brightest public educators, Alaska must offer an attractive retirement option, and I believe that HB 83 can do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. Do we have any questions from committee? Seeing no questions, we'll move on to our off-net and Mr. Richard Sewell. Mr. Sewell, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please?
Yes, thank you. My name is Richard Sewell. Good afternoon, Chairman Keto and committee members. I really appreciate you taking testimony and having this opportunity to talk with you. I have four main points to make this afternoon. One, just a little bit about me. I have a Master's of Business Administration degree, and I work as a transportation planner in BOT, Statewide Aviation. However, I also am that I'm here to testify as for myself, representing myself, but I also sit on the board of directors for the ASEA as the professional class representative. I could easily be working in the private sector, but I am luckily a tier one guy from way back in the day when I was a young buck. I decided to come back to work for a tier PERS participating organization, even though I will have my Social Security benefits penalized because the state does not participate in Social Security. And just as an aside, I wonder why it's not set up so that employees could have the choice of being in Social Security or supplemental benefit system. The second point I want to make is similar to what other people have talked about the brain drain. Our turnover rate of employees for the state is about 25% per year, every year, every year, every year. All the turnover results in a whole workforce that are a growing number of newbies that get on-the-job training, and after 5 years of vesting, many leave state service. I work in the upside-down building in Anchorage, and there are so many newbies that I wonder if, really, quite frankly, if there's many people left anymore that know where the light switches are even. DOT needs experienced and knowledgeable people to deliver our very complicated and challenging annual capital program that is approximately $800 million a year, as you representatives know. It's a big nut to crack to deliver every year, every year. My third point is regarding a study that was produced, I believe, by Legislative Research that compared Tier 3 and Tier 4 PERS costs out of pocket for the state, and the long-term out of pocket expenses were essentially equal. However, to get a true fiscal impact picture, you must consider the very high cost of recruitment, training, and retention, not just the cost of the pension program out of pocket. These ancillary costs are significant and must be considered. My fourth point is an example of a young lady that I know who went to the University of Alaska of Anchorage, got her teaching certificate in special education, taught 5 years in Anchorage, and was a tier three TERS vested employee. She wanted to stay in Alaska, but because there was no pension program, she said she had to think about her future, and she moved to Iowa and got a special ed teaching position in the public school system. The state of Iowa allowed her to buy into this Iowa's PERS system with her 5 years of money from Alaska. And so a difficult to recruit Alaska trained teacher is gone forever. All that investment by her and by the University of Alaska system is now gone. Anyway, thank you for your attention, and if the committee has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sewell. I don't see any questions from committee members. We will go back to Fairbanks LIO for Edward Graff. Mr. Graff, do you have testimony you'd like to provide us now? Go ahead and place your name and affiliation on the record.
Edward Graff, Laborers 942, work with Burrow. I also am the steward. I'm just here to support the House Bill 83. And hopefully it'll go through, and it will help everybody here with our high turnover rate, cost of training, and keeping people employed. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Graff, and thank you for providing your testimony. We will go back off-net to Tammy Smith. Ms. Smith, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide your testimony, please?
Thank you. This is Tammy Smith from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I am speaking as an individual, but I do want to share that I am a teacher. I am also an officer with NEA Alaska. But my testimony today is really going to be about my family and the impact that the Tier 1 and the different tier systems have had on me and my daughter. So I was... when I was a Tier 1, I actually left the state for a little while. And one of the reasons why I came back, I had 7 years in, and one of the reasons why I came back was because I knew that if I came back and I could stay vested in Tier 1, that it was a great benefit for me, and I felt that it would also allow my family to be able to come back to Alaska and enjoy this great state. My daughter, who actually is currently out of state right now, otherwise would be testifying. She is, she's a state employee. She went to high school here in Fairbanks. She went to UAF. And much like the testimony that man before me spoke, she, while she's working here, she worked here for about 3 years, and then she left and realized that after 3 years, that if she came back, she could actually just finish up her 1.5 years and have 5 years invested. And she knows that she will be leaving in another year and a half. She is a very talented young woman, but she does not have a secure retirement like her mom does. And she recognizes that if she were to... if she were to go outside to the lower 48, that she would have much of the same benefits of the person who spoke about Iowa. So I just really want to encourage you to really look at this very significant brain drain. It is happening among our youngest people who really, we want to have them here for the foundation of Alaska. She's 30 years old. Her husband's 33 years old. They cannot feel secure here. So I really want you to think about how this impacts the people that we need here to fill all these jobs and to provide them with some particular choices. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Next, we will go to Richard Alisnerum, Mr. Alisnerum. Please provide your name and affiliation and give us your testimony, please. Okay. So we will move on to Brianna McGrath. Ms. McGrath, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony? No, we will try and go back to off-net later and see if we can get those lines coming back. With that, we will move here to Juneau, Mr. Paul Kelly. Paul, if you can come forward, place your name and affiliation on the record and give us your testimony, please.
For the record, Chair Quito, members of the Labor and Commerce Committee, my name is Paul Kelly. I am an analyst programmer 2 with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and a tier four employee. While I also serve as a secretary of the Alaska State Employees Association Local 52 Juneau chapter, I am here testifying on my own behalf in support of House Bill 83. In May of 2016, I graduated from the University of Alaska Anchorage with a degree in engineering, with a concentration in computer systems engineering, and minors in electrical engineering, mathematics, and French. This opened up a wide variety of opportunities for me, most of them out of state. However, I decided that I loved to program, and I didn't want to leave Alaska, which has been a home for my family for 3 generations. After taking a break to pursue another passion of mine, I began my position last July as an analyst programmer. I'd like to stay right here in Juneau, provide a service to Alaskans, and start a family. However, I need to know that my training and skills are valued. I need to know that I am financially secure. I need to know that after a career in state service that my community will get behind me and support me in my retirement. Since my legislator is chairing this committee, I'd like to put on my hat as an Alaska resident, not just an employee. I think it's important that we do everything we can to attract and retain the best employees. People like myself are professionals, and Alaskans deserve a professional workforce behind them. That is why I respectfully ask the members of this committee, please vote to pass HB 83 out of committee as is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to Alicia Hughes-Scandish. Thank you. Place your name, affiliation on the record. Provide us with your testimony, please.
I'm your comedic relief. For the record, my name is Alicia Hughes-Scandies. I am a Tier 4 State of Alaska employee for the Department of Health and Social Services. I'm a grants administrator. I'm also a member of ASCA Local AFSCME 52 Union, and I do serve on the Juneau Local Chapter Board as a treasurer, but I am speaking on behalf of myself today. Thank you for scheduling this hearing. Thank you, Chairman Quito, for sponsoring this bill, and members of the committee be available on such an exceptionally beautiful Saturday while the sun's out. You've heard a lot of the same talking points over and over, so I'm going to spare you repeating in verbatim what you may have already heard. But I'd like to say part of the reason I strongly support this bill is because it makes sense. It makes sense for the workers, and I think you're hearing that overwhelmingly, that this is something that we want. We want to continue serving the state. We want to continue living in the state, and we want to know that we have a little bit of security. But it also makes sense on the behalf of the state. It makes more sense because it's a lower cost, because individuals aren't bearing the same volatility of the market, and because you make greater gains when you have more of your money pooled together. I can send numerous studies that would say that that makes sense for the state's interests, not even speaking to the interests of the worker, and I can email those to you guys afterwards. Some of the studies that I found to be most compelling. I grew up in the Mountain State, which is not Alaska, is actually West Virginia. And West Virginia switched away from a defined benefit to a defined contribution. Since that time, seeing what that did to their workforce, to their education department, they have switched back to a defined benefit because it makes sense. I am a poster child for this bill in some sense because I will be at 5 years of state service in September. And I can tell you that I love living in Juneau. I love working for the state. I feel like what I do makes a difference, as cheesy as that sounds. And I'd love to keep doing that knowing that I have a little bit of security. In my own office, I work with a lot of Tier 1 employees, and there are 2 Tier 4 employees, and we frequently talk about our options, about retirement. You know, the cost of health care is high in Alaska, and this is something that is on a lot of employees' minds, and a lot of the younger employees. So I kind of feel like I represent all of those foibles of whether we're going to keep retained employees or not. Someone spoke earlier about the turnover making him feel like people didn't know where the light switches were in the office. In the 5 years that I've been there, I can say that I have seen that turnover myself, and that I feel like if I were to leave the office that I work in, I would be taking valuable knowledge away from the state, and the state would have to start all over training somebody on these programs. So there's a lot of reasons. I will send you guys some written testimony. Like I said, I don't want to repeat all of the same things you've already heard today. But speaking on my own individual experience, I really thank you for your consideration of this, and I really hope that maybe this is a time that we could move something like this forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Alicia. We'll stay in Juneau and move to Trenton English. No? Okay, so, and then on to Kenneth Sutherland. Mr. Sutherland, if you come forward, place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with the testimony, please.
Chairman Aquino, committee members, Representative Parrish, thank you for allowing me to testify before you today. I learned about this meeting last night, so I didn't prepare any statements, but I've been fighting a cold, too, so excuse the hoarseness in the voice. I am Human Resource Administrator for Clinton-Haida Regional Housing Authority. We are a participating employer in the PERS program. I speak in favor of the bill. I'd like to our employees to have an option for the defined benefits. I would hope that this would not increase any costs on the employer. That's one of my major concerns. From the Housing Authority perspective, being a participating employer in the PERS plan, that the costs are very high. I have 50 employees that are participating in PERS. 14 of them are in the Tier 1, 2, or 3. 36 are in Tier 4. Overall, our company is paying about $733,000 a year in PERS costs. About $450,000 goes to the Tier 4 employees. So that's, you know, we're paying 22% of those employees' salaries for them to participate in a defined contribution plan. As a private employer, if we went out and got our own defined contribution plan, a 403B, because we're a nonprofit, we could do a matching plan at 6%. So an employee, they put in 6, got 6%, they'd be putting in 12%. Plus, they'd still be participating in Social Security. Right now, they're not in Social Security. And the cost to the employer would drop down to about $136,000 a year. We'd be saving over $360,000 a year if we were in our own defined contribution plan rather than participating through the state of Alaska's PERS plan, Tier 4. So it's a very significant cost, you know, $360,000 for a nonprofit housing authority, that could build us a couple houses in each of our communities. I sent an email, I think, to all the Southeast delegates. So I believe Chairman Aquino, Representative Stutes, Representative Parrish, I believe you all have got that email, requesting some relief in terms of my Tier 4 employees. There are some options I put in that email. But I do speak in favor. If we're going to continue to pay 22% of cost to have our employees participate in PERS, I'd like to see it in a defined benefit plan rather than a defined contribution plan. So thank you.
Mr. Sutherland. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Tom Bryce. Good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Representative. Thank you very much, and hats off to your staff that were able to get the Fairbanks LIO open for the folks up there. We really appreciate that. This is a bill of utmost importance to our membership. We've heard a lot of conversation, and I don't, if my remarks come across as demeaning anybody, it's not. Everything that's been said today, major thumbs up. From the police and fire folks to the teachers and the professionals and all those folks. But I also want to talk about a different aspect here. I've been at my job here as a the business representative for Alaska Laborers for about 13 and a half years. I was here before defined contribution. I've been here since. We fought the fight to keep the defined benefit program back when we lost that fight. We need to get back to a choice at least. Let me tell you about some of my members that had been affected by this. We represent folks that they're not the high paid state employees. They're not making $100,000. They're not making $150,000 dollars a year. Our guys are making $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. And so when you're talking about 60-70% of retirements, what you need to, you know, the retirement gurus talk about, that's kind of the rule of thumb of what you need to save to plan on for replacement income. 70% of $30,000 is not a lot. We need to get back to a defined benefit program so the guys that are out there in our Pioneers home that are making sure that the residents there are fed, that the rooms are clean, that they've got something that when they're finished with their work life that they can rely on, that's not, you know, reliant on the whims and wills of what's happening on Wall Street and the NASDAQ. I want to talk a little bit about one guy, and this is right as this story is a true story. It actually happened. It was one of the most heartbreaking things I had to deal with. Maintenance position at Mount Edgecombe in 2007, summer of 2007, when it was switching over and the DB plan was closing out. They had that position open for about 3 months. They had the candidate. They wanted to hire the candidate. They held the candidate's position open until after the implementation of the defined contribution program. When he came on, he was about a 55-year-old guy. Wonderful spirit, wonderful guy, a sense of service, wanting to help the kids at Mount Edgecombe. But you want to hear somebody's voice, and when he's given, you know, all the various options that the defined contribution require, this guy was completely lost. He had no clue in terms of what elections he needed to make, how he was going to get to a retirement with his educational background and his abilities. My guys, my people, my members aren't the ones that spend their Sunday mornings reading the Wall Street Journal. We're the ones that are out there making sure the snow is plowed off the roads. And we're the ones that are out there making sure that, you know, airports are open. There's a sense that the level of attention that they have to pay towards finance and towards investment can be very overwhelming. At least with a defined benefit program option, those folks that want to come in and just make their first election, get their education, and set it aside without having to review it every couple of months, you know, that's what they need. Anyway, thank you very much, and thank you, Representative, for sponsoring the bill and bringing it up. And I'm sorry that I've gone so long.
Thank you, Mr. Bryce. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. We'll go to Linda Murphy here in the room, and then we'll go back to our LIOs. No testimony. Okay. not signed up to testify. Okay, thank you for being here. We will move back to Fairbanks LIO, Nancy Peterson. Ms. Peterson, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony, please.
Okay, I'm Nancy Peterson, and I'm in my fifth year with Vantran Transportation in Fairbanks. And I'm here today to represent the other Vantran drivers who are in the same position of the tier number four, not having a good retirement to look forward to is a little difficult, and I too was born and raised in the state, and my parents were early pioneers here who made a big difference in how smooth things go for the state of Alaska now, long since passed, but I intend to stay in the state too, and a good retirement would help, as it would help others in the system here in Fairbanks as well as the entire state. So thank you, and we support this House bill.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will move back to off-net, and it looks like we do have quite a few people in Dutch Harbor, so we'll go ahead and move to Dutch Harbor. Ms. Rachel Allensum, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record and provide your testimony, please.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Rachel Allensum. I've worked for as a fisheries biologist with the Dutch Harbor Fish and Game Office since September 1998, and I am in Tier 3. I'm calling on behalf of myself and six other employees, which are Tier 4, Marie McGrath, Megan Fennell, Erica Ock, Myra Schultz, Asia Barber, and Miranda Westfall. We would like to ask you to please support HB 83. Many public employees are not covered by Social Security. The current 401k style plan is risky. Supporting HB 83 would give public employees the option to choose a pension for their retirement savings. It would also help recruit and retain employees and provide stability and continuity in state services to all Alaskans. And we have seen many employees get training from the state of Alaska and leave for better pay and benefits. Finally, supporting HB 83 is the right thing to do. It will provide predictable, stable retirement for current and future public employees. We'd really like to encourage you to please support HB 83 as it will benefit the employer, the employees, and the public. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Allensum. And does anyone else there in Dutch Harbor want to add to or provide their own testimony on behalf of House Bill 83? Okay.
Hi, my name is Miranda Westphal. I've worked for almost 5 years as a fisheries biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I started with the state later than most folks. I started at the age of 36 after pursuing my graduate degree at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And it would really, you know, coming into the state service later, I do worry about retirement. And not having as much time to put in to state service as some of you do. So just know that there's a lot of folks like us out here. I'm Tier 4, and please consider supporting, at least giving us a choice as to defined benefit or defined contribution. I'm going to turn over to Bree McGrath.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Westphal.
Hi. I am Bree McGrath. I am a Tier 4 employee. I just started working for the state 2 months ago, and in that time I have noticed that the turnover rate here is pretty high. This somewhat surprised me considering working for the state is pretty sought after. However, I do believe it has to do with lack of security and employees understanding that they may outlive their retirement. We think the U.S. economy is pretty bad now, but what will happen when this generation and future generations retire and have no money to spend to keep the economy thriving? Pensions would help the economy substantially. Businesses would see boosts in profit and be able to expand. With no money coming in, no money will go out. Therefore, pensions are a win-win for employees, employers, taxpayers, and local businesses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McGrath.
That's all that we have.
Okay. Thank you for everyone in Dutch Harbor. And we'll move on to Michael Risinger with the Anchorage School District. Mr. Risinger, if you can provide us with your name, affiliation, and your testimony, please.
Hi, my name is Mike Risinger. I'm calling on behalf of myself. I am a member of the Anchorage Education Association and a Tier 3 teacher for the Anchorage School District. I'm calling in support of this bill. However, I would like to say that this is, I'm in support of it because it is a good step forward, giving people choices. However, as a teacher, I would definitely like to put out there that hopefully this is just a step forward and that we continue with this. Without paying into Social Security, which is a 6.2% payment when it is being paid, teachers that are in Tier 3 are receiving 7% from their employer, so a whole 0.8% above federally mandated Social Security. So if that is all that's going to be contributed to the defined benefit, plus you have the requirements of meeting 20 years of service, then it seems like it would be better to be in Social Security where you do have that flexibility to walk away. So, like I said, hopefully this is a step and that this is not seen as the end-all. Also, in Alaska with public education funding, we're starting to be seen as an unstable place to work. And so if new employees come in and there's a defined benefit, but there's no way to continue your employment because you might lose your job, then people might not come here to begin with. And we do have a growing teacher shortage. For example, this is my seventh year of teaching, and I am the second person on the totem pole in my building, so for my department. So if budget cuts go deep enough, I'll be cut. My seventh year, and I haven't seen a year yet where we didn't have cuts at our building. So that stability needs to be there, as well as employers paying a little bit more into the retirement. The 7% is just above Social Security. So thank you.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Risinger. Next, we have Danielle Tuttle in Anchorage. Mr. Tuttle, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Daniel Tuttle, and I also work for the Anchorage School District, and I am a member of AEA as well, but I'm just representing myself, and I support this bill. A little bit about myself. I moved away for school but came back because I was born and raised here. My family's here, Alaska Native, and I want to stay. But I think people follow economic incentives, and if there is no defined benefit, I think that you're going to continue to see a brain drain with young people leaving the state, going to more attractive places to work. Also, the Anchorage School District did see a drop in enrollment recently, and I think to continue a stable population in the state, you need to have a defined benefit for those workers who would like to stay and like to create a home in Alaska. In addition, the windfall elimination provision that is applicable to people who are state workers is really interesting, because even though you're part of a defined contribution, in the mind of the federal government, it is still a pension. So you get dinged 60% if you have any sort of Social Security benefit outside of it. This came as news to me because I worked in the summertime to put my Social Security quarters. I was comfortable with the fact that there was going to be no pension that I saw, but not only did I find out about that, but there will be no pension at the end of the career in addition to reduced benefit of Social Security. So that is an unstable work environment, and I think that is very important for Alaska to retain local talent who want to live here and continue to make it their home.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Tuttle. Thank you for your testimony. And we do not have anybody else signed up, and we are scheduled for public testimony until 3. So what I'm going to do now is we'll take about a 15-minute at ease and then come back to see if anybody else has signed up for public testimony. With that, we will take a break now and reconvene at about 2:20 or 2:25. Thank you. It is 2:26 p.m. We're back on the record in House Labor and Commerce. We do have one other person in the room that signed up to testify, Nadine Lefebvre. Nadine, if you can provide us with your name and affiliation and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Keto, to the chair and the committee members. My name is Nadine Lefebvre. I work for the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development here in Juneau. I'd like to speak to the recruitment and retention of highly skilled employees that we seem to be failing at this time without a defined benefit plan. I've noticed that we're not recruiting or retaining our skilled teachers throughout the state. Our first responders were at crisis levels and not refilling positions for state troopers, police, and especially firefighters. We're also looking at difficulties in recruitment and retention of engineers, those who build our bridges and those who operate our ferries and tugboats. And we have difficulty recruiting for talented frontline staff. A lot of this has to do with the fact that they don't have a future to look forward to. Without a retirement, we are investing hundreds of thousands of dollars every year in training people who are not going to stay to be a contributing member of a dynamic work group. We do not have that institutional knowledge or program knowledge that we need to keep a lot of our in-state programs vital and supporting the quality of life for our citizens. I think that this will allow, with a DB system, we're going to allow us to be competitive and not lose these well-trained people to other states or private industry. Let's look forward to some of us who might retire soon. We, as retirees or soon-to-be retirees, contribute already over $2 billion back into the Alaska economy. We're landholders, we're commercial fishermen, we pay property tax to support our first responders and our schools. Lots of Girl Scout cookies, Boy Scout popcorn, whatever it takes to keep our schools and our first responders going, retirees contribute as well. You're not going to see that disposable income if people don't have a defined benefit, a guaranteed retirement. They will not be able to re-contribute into the community. I think most of all what I'm concerned about is that these folks who are now in Tier 4, we're just training them and losing them within 5 years. You know, D.C. is just highly mobile. They don't need to stay. Our investment in their training and the quality of our work groups is diminished because they have the opportunity to leave. There's no longevity for them. I can submit the rest of my comments in writing if you like, but I think I'm all talked out.
Thank you, Ms. Fade. We have any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you for your testimony. And we also have Eric Hoffman in the room. Mr. Hoffman, if you want to come forward and place your name and affiliation on the record and provide us with your testimony.
Yes, my name is Eric Hoffman. I am currently employed by the Juneau Police Department informally. I'm used to standing while testifying. I'm employed by the Juneau Police Department, and formerly I was employed with the Fairbanks Police Department. It is important to note that I'm here representing myself, and my message represents me, myself, and not the department as a whole. I was born and raised in Alaska, born in Fairbanks. My family came to Alaska in the 50s. My dad and his siblings were born here before statehood. I have very strong ties to Alaska, to its communities, and I would like to remain in the state and would like to see it go a positive direction. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. It's my hope to bring to light one of the major obstacles that the law enforcement community in Alaska is currently facing. Budget deficits and opioids have dominated political conversation for some time, and with good reason. They're very serious concerns. But make no mistake, Alaska is experiencing a public safety staffing crisis. I would like to reference a case study that just came out a few weeks ago. The National Institute on Retirement Security recently completed a study titled Retirement Reform Lessons, The Experience of Palm Beach Public Safety Pensions. This case study examined what happened in Palm Beach, Florida after the city got rid of pensions in favor of 401k plans. The study proved to be a cautionary tale and found that dismantling the pension instantly caused a mass exodus of public safety employees that it did not stop until the city reestablished the defined benefit retirement. Getting rid of the pension actually benefited neighboring towns and states with better retirements because they absorbed those quality employees that left Palm Beach. and it even caused the city's expenses to skyrocket because of unanticipated costs such as recruitment and training. At the worst of the city's staffing crisis, more than 60% of employees had less than 3 years of service. Moving to a defined contribution retirement was such a failure that the city reestablished the pension after 4 years. In conclusion, the researchers found that the state and local governments cannot easily replace the experience of seasoned public safety workers, and cutting costs through pensions can put our public safety at risk. If you replace the words Palm Beach with Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau, this case study would be about us today. The study does go on to reference a report from the Alaska Department of Public Safety to the state legislature in 2017, which says the defined contribution plan acts as a barrier to attracting and drives up attrition among state troopers. While this report was from DPS, I can attest that municipal agencies in Alaska are experiencing the same problem. If you talk to frontline officers and supervisors from any major agency, you will hear a common theme. They are too understaffed to keep up with crime in 2018. Between significant rises in property crime and Tier 4 retirement, there are simply not enough cops on the street to handle the massive influx of calls for service, and everyday Alaskans are paying the price. Besides community and department ties, there's currently nothing to encourage an Alaska peace officer to remain here. It's an all too common story for an officer to be hired, jump through all the hoops, and get all the necessary training, only to leave the state after 2 or 3 years with all the experience they gained. This is a tremendous disservice to Alaskans, and it's a problem that can be largely solved tomorrow with a defined benefit retirement. In the five years I've been a police officer, I've seen crime rise as much as 100% in some communities. If this wasn't enough, Alaska is consistently one of the most violent and crime-ridden states in the union. I think it's time for the legislature to take action to provide better security for its citizens. What you can do right now to provide a better staffed and better experienced law enforcement presence throughout Alaska is to reestablish a defined benefit retirement. We're all Alaskans who care about our state and its people. While I'm speaking today in encouragement of an improved retirement system, I hope you take my words to heart and see that drastic action needs to be taken to improve the safety of your constituents.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. And if you could have a copy, we could have a copy made. If you've got your written testimony, we can make sure it gets into the record. Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hoffman? Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right now, I understand that there are some vacancies in JPD.
There's vacancies in every department in Alaska. I don't think there's a single one that's fully staffed.
I'll follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you would mind answering another one. How much of that would you attribute to the lack of a defined benefits option?
Today I would say, right now today I would say a lot. I think that there's enough studies done on municipalities and states that have gotten rid of their pension plan to show that it does cause a max exodus of their public safety employees. I was looking at a study recently that, and I believe it was the same one that I referenced in my testimony, that 96% of public employees say that they remain with their job in large part because of their retirement systems. That's no different for police. If you go look back through Anchorage, Fairbanks, State Troopers, Juneau, you would see how many people have left since 2007, 2008, and then be able to look at how many officers are leaving after 2 or 3 years. And it's very extreme and it's very concerning. And we are giving up an incredible amount of training and experience. All the 2 and 3 year officers we have right now, they are very good people. They are very qualified. They're very well trained. But at 2 or 3 years, I was not the officer that I am today at 5. And at 5 years, I'm not the officer that I'm going to be at 10 or 15. And I met my 5 year mark. Actually, last week was my 5 year anniversary. I am a vested employee, and there's nothing keeping me from continuing police work besides me enjoying the job that I do. It's what I wanted to do since I was a kid. It's what I went to strive for my whole life, and it's what I enjoy doing today. But quite frankly, my girlfriend and I have had talks about this. I've had talks with my family. I've had 3 friends who were murdered doing this job in Alaska. And is it worth it? And I just don't know anymore. Like I said, crime has risen by 100% in large communities since I became a cop, and that's very easy to see on the street day after day. And we're putting duct tape and Band-Aids on issues that deserve more attention, and the people deserve better than what we're giving them in terms of public safety and the criminal justice system.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. I don't have anybody else signed up at this time. We will take another at ease and come back in at about 10 till. And with that, we'll stand at ease at 2:36 p.m. Thank you. Back on the record at 2:51 p.m., and we do have somebody else who has called in. And looks like we have Kenneth Kramer. Mr. Kramer, if you can place your name and affiliation on the record, provide us with your testimony, please.
Yes. I thought I heard my name.
Yes, go ahead.
Super. Thank you, committee members, for taking the time today to hear this. I myself...
Mr. Kramer, can you provide us with your name and affiliation before you start for our record?
Yes. My name is Kenneth Kramer. I am a state employee. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Do you need further as to my status or...
No, that is fine.
Affiliation? Okay. I've been a state employee now for 17 years. Prior to that, in 1991, I arrived here with the Air Force, and after retiring, I decided to make Alaska my home. Bear with me.
Okay, no worries.
I did 25 years in the military, and I know the importance of training and retaining people. The new people that I'm seeing coming, over my 17 years, I've seen this younger workforce come in, and they've got a lot of energy. We get them trained up, and after 5 years, they're gone. There's an expense, an enormous expense, just getting these people trained up to do the job. And if they're leaving after 5 years, I don't know how to express it. It's just like we're recycling and recycling and recycling. And I would encourage the committee to support this bill in full. There's an enormous cost that's associated with it. We've got our physical state right now that we're currently in. We have no physical plan going forward. And to keep regurgitating and going through this process is insane, if you ask me. Without the new people staying on board, you're not going to have the workforce there. You need the experience. I'm on my downhill slope. I'm tier three. It's there for me. I'm concerned about the new people that are coming on board that are getting this training and just going off. This is a great state. We can make this place fabulous. But with the new people leaving, it's not getting anywhere. I'd encourage the support. I'd ask the committee members, please think of probably the most important expense associated with getting this bill. We'll have our new people stay around, and we won't be wasting the time, because time is the commodity you can't put a price tag on. We have to train them. They leave. Now, again, we're picking up the ball, training again. We need to have something in place to keep these people here. That's what it's all about. I thank you for your time. Mr. Josephson, I've met you. Thank you for your service, what you're doing there. I'd ask, please extend the appreciation to Eileen. She's very, the person who answered the phone, she was very helpful and very courteous. Thank you for your time. I would urge your support for this bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kramer. Any questions for Mr. Kramer? If not, thank you for your testimony. And we do not have anybody else signed up. And what I will do at this time, we'll take a last 5 minute at ease. I'll come back in and adjourn the meeting at 3 o'clock unless we have somebody else who's signed up to testify. With that, we are at ease, 2:55. Thank you. We are back on the record in House Labor and Commerce. We've had no one else sign up to testify for public testimony. We will be holding House Bill 83 over until our next meeting on Monday. At this time, seeing no other business to come before House Labor and Commerce, we will stand adjourned at 3 o'clock p.m. Thank you, everyone.